The Other Side of Midnight presents The Midnight Files.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. This magical journey will take us on a ride, filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it till tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you?
The problem with discussing UFOs in the media has always been you sort of get labeled as a crackpot, or you get labeled as a bit nuts, or you get labeled as quirky. And there's not a lot of very sane and sober people that are generally available and willing to chat about unexplained aerial phenomenon. Well, all that has changed over the course of the last 4 years. And we've featured a lot of journalists who are doing some great work on the question of unexplained aerial phenomena. This is now a mainstream issue. It's going to be part of a report released by the Pentagon next month. It's been featured on the front page of the New York Times. It's been featured on CBS Sunday Morning. It's been featured in 60 Minutes. Former presidents have been asked about it. The New Yorker did a terrific piece about it. But it still does seem as if there's a little bit of a stigma towards discussing this kind of thing. And you wonder why that's the case. Well, a fascinating, fascinating piece of journalism that I read last week, explores why that's the case. It was in what has become my very favorite political newsletter, The Tangle. If you're not familiar with The Tangle, do yourself a favor. We're going to tell you how you can read it. Subscribe to it because it is the highlight of my email perusal whenever it arrives. It is the best politics newsletter on the internet. It's loved by liberals, loved by Trump supporters, and everyone in between. And the founder of The Tangle has been a guest on this show before. I've been a guest on his podcast. He's a terrific journalist and a true independent thinker in an era where those seem to be in short supply. The one and only Isaac Saul. Isaac, thanks for staying up late with us.
Thanks for having me on, Frank. Always a pleasure.
So you decided to write this piece, UFOs Are Here, So Buckle Up. Usually I am reading your column. You write about things like the January 6th Commission or the infrastructure bill or the election, the HR1. And you really get into the nitty gritty of hot button political issues. And first, what I love about you and your journalism is you explain what's actually in the legislation that both sides point fingers at and talk about how hyperbolic and crazy it is. Then you explain what the left is saying. Then you explain what the right is saying. And then you give your take. And to me, that's something that not a lot of people in journalism are doing these days. What made you decide to focus on the question of UFOs or unexplained aerial phenomenon?
Well, first, I mean, sort of as you said, that's been so stigmatized and has sort of been off, you know, off the grid in the media world and the journalism world. Someone like me who has had an interest in this, you know, since I was a teenager, couldn't really speak about it or write about it and be taken seriously as a reporter. And, you know, I'm ashamed to say, I guess, up to this point that I haven't had the bravery to sort of step out and say, hey, this is something that's worth exploring, and there's a real story here. It's not in tinfoil hats, you know. And part, as you said,
Isaac, we're going to get you on the phone because you're crackling a little bit. And believe me, I don't want to miss a syllable. Talking with Isaac Saul, he is the founder of the news source The Tangle. And if you aren't reading The Tangle, you are missing out because you may end up disagreeing with Isaac's conclusions, which I certainly do from time to time. But you can't disagree with the logical method in which he arrives at his conclusions. I'm sorry, Isaac. Go ahead. You were saying.
So, I mean, really, basically what it comes down to is just that we have had in the last 4 years, as you said, this kind of watershed moment where, A, the government has acknowledged the existence of UAP. You know, they've renamed UFOs as unidentified aerial phenomena for some reason. Whatever reason, it's a more comfortable label for them. So that's number one. And number two is a lot of really reputable journalists and news outlets have started to tackle this issue and take it seriously. And they've gotten people like trained Navy pilots or astronomers to go on record and say, you know what, we actually don't know what this is. We have no idea what we're looking at in this video or this picture or, you know, reviewing this account from eyewitnesses. And that's just totally changed the game. I mean, up until now, up until 2017, really, we didn't have any of that. We had nothing but straight denial and, you know, projection and people pointing back at the ones saying, hey, there's something going on here, and just sort of dismissing them as conspiracy theorists and people who were, you know, not understanding what they were looking at.
You begin the piece by highlighting the fact, and Gideon Lewis Krause from The New Yorker, who I spoke with the other day, highlighted the same fact. Up until the 1960s, the idea that there was life in outer space was not especially controversial. How did we go from that thinking being pervasive in this country to the only people that think that being crackpots?
You know, to me, it's sort of a story of two moments. One is the very first Mariner 4 spacecraft flyby of Mars in 1964. I mean, if you go back to that time period, what you'll see is a lot of reputable scientists, people like Carl Sagan, were very confident that there had been life on Mars and were basically saying publicly that they believed whenever we had the technology to explore Mars, we were going to find that proof of previous life on Mars or life existing currently on Mars. And essentially what happened was, is we had that first flyby, we saw the first images of Mars, and instead of a planet that looked like a place where life might be, we saw a planet that just looked like a wasteland. And so that sort of began to turn people off to this idea. And then the second thing was the UFO phenomena that started in the late 1940s through the 1950s and 60s, where Americans and people across the globe, frankly, were claiming to see UFOs, and there were front page news stories. And, you know, as you very well know, anytime something gets a lot of attention in the news media, what sort of comes of that is people start taking sides. They start picking sides. And a lot of Americans started picking sides on this issue of UFO. And because we had so many people who were very obviously kind of cranks and coming up with stories or photoshopping pictures or having, you know, their claims of eyewitness testimony being undermined by evidence, it was really easy for the government to dismiss the whole thing as, you know, just a fake storyline that had been made up by a bunch of conspiracy theorists, when in reality, since the 1940s, we've had several really high-profile unidentified aerial phenomena events that have never been explained, that have never been adequately explained. And a lot of Americans are looking back on that, you know, the full scope of the history of UFOs now, and saying, hey, there's something here. There's something here that's a little bit more than just, you know, an internet conspiracy and a grainy Bigfoot photo, basically.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the aspects, and we're talking with Isaac Saul, he's the founder of Tangle News. If people want to subscribe to your newsletter, Isaac, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can do that at readtangle.com. That's the best way to find me, readtangle.com.
In this piece on UFOs, you have a subheadline that says, UFOs are real, period. So I love that you put it so bluntly and so clearly, because there really is no question about whether there are UFOs / UAPs. Is there? That's not a question. The question is what they are, right?
Right. I think a lot of people hear someone say UFO or unidentified aerial phenomena, and they think of the little green men, which, to be fair, there have been stories that people have told of either witnessing aliens on planet Earth, you know, circling a downed UFO, or claiming to have been abducted. And all of that is well and good. I think a lot of those stories are actually pretty fascinating in their own right. But the crux of this issue is that unidentified aerial phenomena are absolutely real because, A, we have a bunch of unexplained aerial phenomena. And you know, people across the planet, this is not just the U.S.-centric thing. I had a reader write in and say, this is real. Why is this only happening in the United States? And it doesn't. I mean, we have French scientists, British scientists, people all over the world who are investigating this because, you know, they're interested in figuring out what's happening in our skies. And now we have the U.S. military saying that, you know what, here are these tic-tac-shaped objects, for instance, like the famous Nimitz incident, that are moving, you know, 60,000 feet above the Pacific Ocean in a way that they've never seen any kind of aircraft move with no visible elements of propulsion, no wings, you know, in an object that we just simply don't understand. And if that doesn't pique your interest, I mean, I don't really know what will, but it's absolutely 100% fact that we have things happening in our skies that we can't explain. Now, does that mean they're aliens? No, it doesn't necessarily mean they're aliens. It could be military technology that belongs to China or Russia. That's a leading theory to sort of explain a lot of this. It could be weather events that we don't totally understand. It could be animals we haven't discovered. It could be a million other things. But that's sort of the point, is that until we start taking it seriously and investigating it, we don't really have an answer, and a lot of people are becoming really hungry for one.
That is for sure. You reference in your piece not only Project Blue Book, which was the military's effort to explore and chronicle some of these phenomenon, but you reference an event which has been almost lost to American history, as strange as it might be, because it's so groundbreaking, which is in the 1950s, I believe it was 1952, the summer of 1952, when flying saucers appeared in Washington, D.C., a stone's throw from the White House. Why was that not a greater watershed moment in the UFO disclosure movement, given the fact that it was so widely covered by papers like the New York Times at the time?
You know, it's really, to me, I share your bafflement. And it's one of those incidents that back then, I think, just immediately got chalked up to being another one of these, you know, hundreds or a few thousand incidents that have been reported in the United States between the late 1940s and the early 1960s. But what's so remarkable about what happened then is that we can see through the historical record that we were basically just lied to. I mean, you know, we had this UFO event. We had people witness these lights above D.C., above the White House. The Air Force downplayed the incident at the time. And, you know, there were front page news headlines, flying objects near Washington spotted by pilots and radar. And, you know, Air Force says that something happened, but they don't really know what. And an Air Force major just basically said that, you know, a certain percentage of these reports are being made by credible observers. And, you know, these are incredible things, but we don't really have an explanation for it. And then years later, we find out that, you know, the Air Force responded to this with, I would describe it as force and fear. I mean, they scrambled fighter jets, they sent them to the White House, and there was never any good explanation brought forward. But it was clear that whatever was happening in the sky was something that the U.S. government didn't understand, because they responded to it in a defensive manner, which to me tells the whole story. So again, you know, someone might say, a skeptic of this being extraterrestrial life, which is totally reasonable, might say that this was just, you know, a technology from, you know, an adversary like Russia at the time, and that's why the jets were scrambled. But regardless, wherever you land on that, the fact is we know, A, at the time that it happened, the U.S. government downplayed what actually happened and sort of projected this air of confidence that they almost understood it and weren't worried about it. And that B, we found out that that wasn't actually how the night went, that they were actually pretty quite concerned about it and didn't really understand what was going on outside. And to line that up with all the eyewitness accounts of people describing this really unusual event that they were seeing in the sky, these collection of lights, the way they were moving. I mean, it's your classic UFO story where There's just never a clean explanation for it. And the Air Force, as the years have gone on, have sort of conceded that what their original explanation was not exactly in line with what happened.
We're talking with Isaac Saul. You can check him out online by subscribing to the Tangle newsletter. Now, you have a paid version of this and a free version currently, Isaac?
Yes, that's correct. So the free version goes out Monday through Thursday to anybody who wants it. I am very committed to trying to make news like this available to people regardless of what your financial situation is. And then the Friday editions are the ones that are behind the paywall, and they're usually the deeper dives, the really original content, and that's actually where my UFO piece appeared. So,
are you able to make a living just on the money that you're getting from this newsletter?
I am very fortunate that the Tangle has blown up. It's been really a successful endeavor in the last year, so I've recently quit my job to go do this full time.
Wow.
It's entirely subscriber supported. So yes, I am now both employing myself and a very small team of some part-time help, which is super exciting.
That is terrific. Back to the UFO question. Christopher Mellon is a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence in both the Clinton and George W. Bush administrations. And then he was also he served as the Staff Director of the United States Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. He was one of the people featured in that 60 Minutes piece a week or two ago on UFOs. This is what Christopher Mellon said.
I tried to help my colleague Lou Elizondo elevate the issue in the department and actually get it to the Secretary of Defense. So it's not us. That's one thing we know.
We know that.
I could say that with a very high degree of confidence, in part because of the positions I held in the department, and I know the process.
So he says that this technology, one of the theories is that it's military technology. You referenced that a few minutes ago. He says that it's definitely not us. What do we think the likelihood is of it being Russian or Chinese technology?
You know, I feel quite torn about this myself. I mean, I think given the amount of money that we spend on our military apparatus and how far ahead we've managed to stay of adversaries like China and Russia up to this point, I personally would be pretty shocked if they had technology that was so well advanced and so far ahead of ours today, right now, that we have, you know, the best pilots in the world can't recognize it or can't make sense of it or can't even really get it on their radar in a clean enough way to examine it. To me, that seems nearly out of the realm of possibility. Now, I understand that might be a bit of my own American exceptionalism at play, but you know, just the basic numbers of how much money we're spending on this kind of stuff, to think that we would be witnessing something that we literally can't comprehend. I mean, as Christopher Mellon put it, that it's so far ahead, we don't understand what we're looking at, seems like a stretch to me. But, you know, at the same time, we haven't had a serious shooting war with an adversary like this for decades. Mm. So, you know, the bottom line is that we really just don't know, because nobody has really had to flex, quote unquote, their military might in many years. And so who knows what's been happening under the hood or out of the eye of our spying apparatuses and things like that. And it's kind of, you know, it adds to the mystery. But I heard those comments. I saw those comments from him. And to me, they, you know, peel my jaw off the floor.
Yep,
I mean,
that's, me too. Me too.
That's like one of the top guys in the U.S. military saying, we don't know what's in the sky. All we know is that what we're witnessing is not us. I mean, that's pretty earth-shattering.
Absolutely. It certainly is. Isaac, my final question, I could talk with you all day, and I hope you'll come back, and I appreciate you sacrificing sleep to stay up with us. You know, there's been criticism of left-wing media outlets and right-wing media outlets for putting out headlines and provocative tweets for the sake of clickbait. Now, you put out a tweet yesterday about Hunter Biden as the hot news of the day, and with something that conservative media outlets might really like. You also put out an article advocating for a January 6th commission, something that Democratic media outlets or liberal media outlets might really like. Some people may say you're trying to be Fox News and MSNBC rolled into the one for the sake of clicks. What do you say to that?
You know, I think my goal is to elevate ideas that I think are worthwhile and made in good faith. The Hunter Biden story, at the time it came out, you know, there were some things about it that I didn't think smelled totally right. But I was one of the people sharing the New York Post story. I was one of the people trying to dig into the story of his laptop and get more information about it. And I thought and said publicly a few times and got a lot of crap for it that it seemed like, you know, it was real. The emails are real. The computer was real. And this was a legitimate story to get more information about. And I think that position has aged particularly well over the last few months.
That's for sure.
And, you know, in the wake of the January 6th event, I said, this is a really ugly, horrible thing that happened in America. And I want to make sure that we turn over every rock we can to understand what's going on. And, you know, I stand by that position a few months later. I think there are still some unanswered questions there. And I'm just trying to call, you know, balls and strikes and be honest about how I see it and
absolutely
drop my own bias.
I wish there were more like you. Isaac, thank you so much for the time this morning. I hope we can do it again soon.
Thanks a lot, Frank. I appreciate it.
800-848-9222. If you want to comment, that's 1-800-848-WABC. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.